Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome once again to the Voice of the American Redoubt. We're broadcasting from deep inside Patriot territory, the Mountain States, the refuge and stronghold for thousands of God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots, with more on the way. Trying to beat the clock because time is getting short. We're witnessing the last days of an empire in America, just like every other empire that rose and fell before her. We're not exempt. We've gone down the same suicidal path as every other, and our hope, our prayer, is that the American Redoubt will be worthy of His hand of protection, where our Judeo-Christian values and our American heritage will be preserved and will endure what is coming. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and you just tuned in to the weekly online radio broadcast, Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome, Redoubters, Preppers, and Patriots across the American Redoubt, and those of you outside the wire in occupied territory. Welcome to our Canadian listeners, our Redoubters at heart, just to the north of us, and especially welcome to our fellow survival bloggers. Always a pleasure to have you with us. We've got a lot to cover tonight. I've been wanting to cover this for several weeks, the topic of prepping. So tonight, I'm going to talk about prepping from a basic, newbie, beginner standpoint, prepping 101. So for some of you, there won't be any great epiphanies, but it might just be a good refresher. I've been a survival blogger and a prepper for years, but just in researching the basic prepper material for this show, it was really good just to get back to the basics. And then we have a special treat tonight, a guest. We'll be talking with Enola Gay from Paratus Familia blog. I know a lot of you are looking forward to that, and so am I, so stay close. And my plan, my intent, is to just talk a little bit about prepping and some of the projects she's working on. And those recipes we all know and love that she posts on her blog. See if we can talk her into compiling that into a prepper self-sufficient living cookbook. We'll see. But first, as usual, the news. News, current events, and commentary on just some of the issues that could affect you as freedom-loving patriots, redoubters, preppers, or it just might affect you because you have a pulse. First, because it's so easy and fun to rip on Obama's socialist, police state, globalist policies and agendas. Let's start there. This one was sent in by multiple listeners and brought to you by the one that I posted on the highlights and resources posting for today. Came from the CanadaFreePress.com, titled President Obama Signs Executive Order Allowing for Control Over All U.S. Resources. On March 16th, President Obama signed a new executive order which expands upon a prior order issued in 1950 for disaster preparedness, and it gives the office of the president complete control over all the resources in the United States in times of war or emergency. The National Defense Resources Preparedness Order gives the executive branch the power to control and allocate energy, production, transportation, food, and even water resources by decree under the auspices of national defense and national security. The order is not limited to wartime implementation, as one of the order's functions include the command and control of resources in peacetime determinations. Now, this one isn't something to get too spun up over, really. This has been on the books for 60 years, and every president since then, as far as I know, has either left it in place or renewed it with their own executive order or tweaked it or added just a little more to it, like Obama just did. Now, I don't like it, and you don't like it. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I could do a whole show just on this topic alone. But really, when it all comes crashing down, whoever's in charge at the time will sign sweeping executive orders, wiping everything out that's happened prior. And they'll declare themselves to be ultimately in control of everything and anything that they feel like. So this particular issue is really a red herring. When Teotihuacan comes, then look out. This executive order will go away and be replaced with new and improved ones. So it's true. Now that's disturbing, no doubt, but in a real world national emergency, they'll do whatever they want and they'll justify it. They'll sell it in such a way that the American people won't just accept it, they'll demand it. And another story sent in by several of you from In These Times, an online news site, reports Obama signs anti-Occupy law into effect. Last week, H.R. 347, otherwise known as the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act, sounds warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Passed the House 399-3. And on Thursday, it was signed into law by President Obama. In response, bloggers from the Libertarian Daily Paul to the leftist Daily Kos accused the federal government of gutting the First Amendment. And according to the ACLU, there is indeed something disturbing about H.R. 347. Certain parts of the District of Columbia, like the White House lawn, were added to the list of federally protected areas. Previously, they had only been covered under the D.C. trespassing statutes. Second, and somewhat more ominously, it's now easier for prosecutors to convict people arrested under the law. Before, violators had to willfully and knowingly enter a protected area, meaning that they knew the area was protected and knew it was illegal for them to be there. H.R. 347 deletes the word willfully, meaning that prosecutors no longer need to prove that someone knew what they were doing was illegal to convict them. So there you go. Basically, the law is written so that any area where a person who is protected by the Secret Service is present, that area can be declared a protected area. So whether you're protesting or not, simply being in one of those so-called protected areas could land you in jail with a felony conviction. So an anti-Occupy law or a violation of the Constitution? You decide. Now, speaking of Occupy, they're back. Dozens of Occupy Wall Street protesters were arrested during the weekend as police cleared New York's Zuccotti Park, where demonstrators had gathered for the struggling movement's six-month anniversary. The New York Police Department said it arrested 73 protesters between Saturday afternoon and early Sunday morning. I don't remember any event where this many Patriot Tea Party protesters were ever arrested. Can you? Ed Needham, one of several members of the Leaderless Movement's press team, said the weekend's flare-up could draw renewed attention to Occupy Wall Street. Oh, yes, it will. Every time they use violence to put us down, it only increases the number of people that are empathetic to us and the cause. It adds fuel to the fire and draws attention to the movement. Of course. You watch when Soros' minions start stirring this pot again later in the spring or later in the year. The lid's going to blow. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to stand by that. Now, in other news, President Barack Obama said Congress should kill tax breaks for the oil and gas industry. Obama said Saturday in his weekly radio and internet address that he expected Congress to consider in the next few weeks ending $4 billion in tax subsidies. Oh, check this out. These are such cookie-cutter communist propaganda one-liners. They're not even worth a real propaganda alert. But, okay, I know you like it, so I'll push the button. Okay, so for our propaganda alert today, he said the vote would put them on record on whether they stand up for oil companies or stand up for the American people. That's black and white. It's only two options, A or B. You either stand up for oil companies or you stand up for the American people. And the other one, they can either place their bets on a fossil fuel from the last century or they can place their bets on America's future. So you're either into fossil fuels from days of old or you are supporting America's future. One or the other. Black and white. See, it's not very creative, but hey, if his little one-liners work on the useful idiots, why not, eh? He says, if we're truly going to make sure we're not at the mercy of spikes in gas prices every year, the answer isn't just to drill more because we're already drilling more, Obama said. He said his administration was trying to develop wind and solar power, biofuels, and usher in more fuel-efficient vehicles to make the nation less dependent on oil. Of course, we've seen every other project that even the so-called green companies going bankrupt and turned into just fraudulent ventures. See, it doesn't get any more misleading than that. He says we're already drilling more. Yep, we're drilling more, like in North Dakota. And guess where it's going? Right out of the country. They're exporting our oil. Did you know that? That's what's helping to keep the petrodollar propped up just a little longer while those in high places can buy themselves time to make their own preparations. So we should be doing the same thing. News from the American Redoubt. This story from the Oregonian out of La Grande, which is inside the American Redoubt. Starting in June, passenger cars, ATVs, dirt bikes, and other four-wheel drive rigs can no longer travel on almost 4,000 miles of roads in a 1.3 million acre area of the forest in Union, Baker, and Wallawa counties. Oregon's largest national forest, by the way. The final plan for Wallawa-Whitman National Forest is to be entered today into the forest or the Federal Register, that's last week, is already drawing opposition. And you people have 45 days to appeal, so get on the ball. And just across from the border from there in Idaho, a measure to toughen anti-bullying policy in Idaho public schools has passed the Senate. Senator Nicole Lefebvre's French bill mandates a more active and consistent role in stopping bullying from the state's 115 school districts, requiring, check this out, requiring educators to undergo professional development. Of course, who's going to foot the bill for that? Take a wild guess. And to intervene if they witness a student being harassed. The Senate bill passed the measure 25-8 Thursday. Lefebvre, a Boise Democrat. What the heck is a Democrat doing in the American Redoubt? Now, Lefebvre says the measure fosters a safe learning environment across the state, addressing an issue gaining national attention since recent youth suicides. Now, one day, this anti-bullying legislation trend will be expanded to adults, and then to a point where any actions or words you say that make someone feel icky or sad will be a crime. That's my prediction. Survival blog is in the news. Well, at least they got an honorable mention. From the Spokesman Review out of Spokane, Washington, in the American Redoubt, they ran an article today titled, End of World, Zombie Apocalypse, Retailers Have Goods for You. This is following the trend among the slipstream media following the prepper movement. Basically, in this article, they're talking about survivalists and preppers buying preparedness gear and food for Teotihuacan. Not really news, but you might be interested in that story. Now, speaking of the news, especially news in the American Redoubt, or news that could affect you as patriots, preppers, believers, lovers of freedom and Americanism, I'm having a real hard time keeping up with all the news that's out there and the news issues, current events that you all send in. Now, don't stop. Keep it coming in. But something that's been requested and suggested as an idea to add to Radio Free Redoubt is a news and current events feature to the website. If you feel a calling and it's something that interests you, we want to expand into some sort of project like Radio Free Redoubt News or American Redoubt News. We don't really have an official name for it yet, but we're looking for volunteers on several levels. At the top of the list, someone who can be a central hub for locating or researching or receiving news stories sent in by the listeners on issues that I just mentioned. Maybe someone who could head up the American Redoubt News and post it to the website. We need contributors who are willing to cover issues in their local areas. For example, if there's a town hall meeting covering the Agenda 21 issues in your community, could you write a short story about that? Who were the speakers? What were the issues? What plan of actions are people taking in your community? And that's just one example. Could you record interviews with people about some of the issues going on in the American Redoubt? Could you attend a local Patriot Freedom rally and cover that? Do you have a calling for being an American Redoubt journalist, editor, audiophile editor, contributing writer, or just a news tipster? Someone who sees an article in your local newspaper or on the local news that you email a link to the news staff. Just some ideas on that. And I really want to hear back from you on that. If you guys have ideas and if you feel called to get involved in that, we can communicate with each other and put our heads together and try to make that turn into a real project. Oh, and by the way, the new website is coming along. We were hoping to have that up and running by somewhere between April 1st and April 15th. Right in there, and it's under construction right now and in disarray, but it's coming along. Huge kudos to our IT guy that's done a great job on that. Thanks, Delta 01. Lots of people appreciate what you're doing, and we'll make an announcement when we're ready to launch and make that switch. Now, if you're not already on board, join the American Redoubt Network. Start getting connected now, because as Redoubters, we're all going to need each other in the future. And you can email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Love to hear from you. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, prepping for the beginner, prepping 101, when we come back.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are use it, use it, use it. This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis. Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cook stove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now anything we purchase we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotwaki happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the King, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
You're listening to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Off with your head! Dance to your dead! Heads will roll! Heads will roll! Heads will roll! On the floor!
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Redoubt. Great to be with you all tonight. During the breaks, we always try to put messages up that encourage and inform or reinforces some project or aspect of the American Redoubt movement. But you may have noticed something a little different in there. The ad from Revolutionary Realty. The American Redoubt movement is growing, And with that, Radio Free Readout is growing also. And that's why I've put out a plea for help. And a lot of you are doing that. Thank you. And I've put this offer, I've put this off for a long time. But with that growth comes increasing expenses. We need studio equipment, communications equipment, web hosting features, and a lot of other things that's $29.99-ing me to death. And there are several pieces of equipment we need that run into the hundreds of dollars, some that runs into the thousands, depending on our growth. And of course, I'm a visionary. I always try to look long-term out on the horizon and see where we're going. So I'm always trying to plan out there ahead. But right now, we need some help. So three things, actually. First, we're putting together a Patriot-owned business directory that we hope to have included in the new website when that gets up and running in the next few weeks. And the business directory is free of charge. Simply send us your name and contact information and a description of your business, and we'll get that added with a free link right to your webpage for you business owners. So other Patriots, preppers, and readouters can help support your business. We also incorporated an advertising program where you can promote your business or services during the broadcast on the air. The fees are extremely affordable, and while we're doing this at a trial period, we have the prices locked down until May 1st. So email us at marketing@radiofreeredoubt.com and we'll send you the information on how to advertise on RFR along with the advertising fee schedule for advertising either on the air or on the website with a banner. There's several plans to choose from to meet any budget. And every little bit helps, and we're very grateful. The other thing that we're adding is a PayPal button, probably by tomorrow, Monday, where you can donate any amount you feel led to give. We've had several listeners over the last 10 months ask how they can support us financially. So that will be possible starting tomorrow, hopefully, if everything goes as scheduled, definitely within the next 24 to 48. And remember, we're only asking for your help if you have the means and you feel led. If you're just starting out on prepping, or if you're on a strict limited budget, please get your house in order first. If you have nothings, I'd rather you kept your $25 or $50 donation to Radio Free Readout and go buy wheat or beans or a set of FRS radios or some heirloom seeds, whatever. Get prepared first above all else. Now, speaking of prepared, the title of today's show is Prepping 101, and this is really geared toward prepping for the beginner. The person who's, what inspired this, before I go any further, Radio Free Readout, by the way, is not a prepper website. Now, being prepared or striving toward a self-sufficiency lifestyle is part of the, that's part of the American Readout lifestyle, but there are 600,000 prepping websites and services, blogs and everything else that's out there already. There's enough people covering that. But we also have resources on the blog. If you scroll down, they have prepper resources there, websites that we've used, things that have been helpful to us. I'm going to talk about a few more. But what started this was about a month ago, I had several, I've had several friends in the past who come to me and they say, we see what's going on in the world. We feel like we need to prepare on some level, but we don't really know what to prepare for. And then they start hitting you with all the hypothetical what if questions. What do you think about the Mayan calendar? You know, what about asteroids? What have you heard about EMP? You know, what's going to happen when the economy collapses? So on and so forth. And just recently I had a friend about a month ago, who, or maybe a little bit longer than that. But anyway, he was saying, you know, hey, we have always been, you know, pro prepping, but we just haven't really done anything with it. And now we feel like we're behind the curve and we're really freaked out. We're not really sure what to prepare for, how to prepare, where do we start, and so on and so forth. The wide-eyed, frantic, panic mode, prepper mode. So with several other friends that I've had in my, or acquaintances that I've had in my own personal circle of influence, people that I know personally, they come to me and they ask, what do I do? And then before we even start beginning to discuss scenarios, you got to get everyone on the same page. So this is what I do. I say, first, I'm not going to discuss this with you until two things happen. One, you read Patriots, A Novel of the Coming Collapse by James Rawls. You read that, and then you pick up One Second After by William Fortune. And that's a book, it's a novel about an EMP attack based on real-world research. And then I tell them, after you read those two books, then come back and see me. Because it really answers a lot of questions, and it gets them in the right mental frame of mind. It gives them a common reference point that everything else is built on, because it gives them a scenario they can see, okay, I can see the need for having a propane-powered refrigerator. I can see the need for storing up weapons of a certain type. And so what you want to do is get the new prepper. You want to get on the same page, and then you can go from there and build a strategy off of that. So those are my two first recommendations. Because what it really does is address, what are we preparing for? Because there's 655 million different scenarios you can come up with what we should be preparing for. And you can run back and forth and not really have any real plan. It can just be, everything goes into disarray. And those two books are probably the most two realistic scenarios. The Patriots, dealing with the coming economic collapse, which is real, which is coming. And One Second After deals with the EMP threat, which is a very real emerging threat today that could shut everything down instantaneously, hurl us back hundreds of years in terms of technology. And of course, there's all the other super volcano, Chinese invasion, asteroids, earthquakes, tsunamis, and everything else that people are trying to prepare for. When I start gearing you toward preparing, I'm thinking beyond the 72-hour kit in case of a hurricane or tornado or something like that. What I believe we're preparing for is something a lot more serious and a lot more long-term. Now, before we go any further, once you've decided you need to start prepping, there's a little word that you need to get to know intimately. OPSEC. It's an acronym or a mnemonic, whatever you want to call it. OPSEC stands for Operational Security. Now, in layman's terms, it means keep your mouth shut about what you are doing. You're going to want to talk about it because it'll be a new chapter in your life and you'll be all excited and you'll try to, you know, all your friends and family and everybody else that you want to talk to. You need to learn to control yourself. I've heard from people that I know, and I've heard personally from people who have overheard others talking about preppers. And a lot of them, what's really scary is a lot of people are buying a lot of firearms and a lot of ammunition and not food. And that makes a very dangerous combination. Now, your friends and family also, it's very common to hear from them, oh, you're one of them. Oh, you're one of those survivalists. Oh, you're one of those doomsdayers. And they laugh and they mock and everything else. And a lot of those people say, well, I have a gun, so I'll just take what I need when the time comes. I know where a Mormon lives. Ha ha. All this kind of stuff. You know, I'm coming to your house. And I've heard that a lot. Hey, if something goes down, we're going to so-and-so's house. Because why? Because they're preppers and they talked too much. Now, on the highlights and resources posting for today's show, and by the way, every show we put up highlights and resources posting that covers, you know, links and resources for some of the topics that we cover. And of course, today's episode 12-11, 18 March 2012, lost track. But you need to really understand OPSEC before you go too much further. And I also posted on there from survivalweek.com, Basics of OPSEC. And that's the best compilation of OPSEC articles that I've seen. And of course, Survival Blog has some really good articles on OPSEC as well. So check those out. Take it seriously. And one way to illustrate that, the importance of OPSEC, and this goes way back. The writers had a glimpse into the future. It's a Twilight Zone episode, and I put part 1 of 3 on there in a YouTube video. You can go to YouTube and watch parts 2 and 3. It's a Twilight Zone episode called The Shelter, where this doctor's got a bunch of his neighbors over for a birthday party, and they're sitting around having dinner, and the announcement comes over the radio that there's been some type of missile launch or some type of unidentified flying objects, something headed their way. And during this party previously, they had been making fun of the doctor about his little bomb shelter, and they're really ribbing him for it. Well, this threat comes over the radio, and they all panic, and so he moves into his bomb shelter. Everybody else leaves, and then come back later saying, "You must let us in. It's not fair that you have a bomb shelter and we do not." And things turn extremely hostile. Anyway, that's fun. It's entertaining, but it also has a lot of learning value there. So this week, what we're going to cover is OPSEC. Just touched on that. Food, water, shelter. Those are the three things you need to focus on right now, because those are the three things that you need to survive. You don't need a hatchet to survive. And when we get into prepping 102, we can start talking about more tools. But right now, let's deal with just the basics. This is what I tell my friends. Start with food, water, and shelter. And so I'm going to break that down. And then, of course, you need a plan to be able to start reaching some of your goals, and give you a couple of resources to help you do that. Now, first of all, you need to prioritize. What's the most important thing right here? Now, of course, food, water, and shelter should be at the very top until you get to a point where you've met goals. I don't care if it's a six-month goal, one-year goal, whatever it is. You strive toward that. Other things are peripheral. They're not unimportant, but you definitely cannot be without food, water, and shelter. You're going to prioritize by putting a list together. Now, it's hard to think of what to even list, because you need a list of lists. There's a couple resources I want to point you to. One, probably one of the most comprehensive resources for survival and preparedness is survivalblog.com, ran by James Rawls, which is also the one who conceptualized the American Redoubt movement. He's a brilliant man, and he carries a lot of weight. He has a huge following, and he has proven himself. And so I would definitely look into his research, look at the list of lists that we provided a link to, and go check that out. Things like a water list, food storage list, food preparation, first aid, minor surgery, nuclear biological warfare defense list, gardening, hygiene, sanitation, hunting, fishing, power and lighting, batteries, fuel, firefighting, tactical living, general security and firearms security, communications, tools, sundries, the survival bookshelf. It goes on and on. So what this does is it helps organize you with a list of things to start listing out that you need to start addressing and incorporate into your strategy, your plan. Now, there's another one too, and that is from survivalmom.com. She also has a list of lists. And it's not quite broken down into like a bulleted list type of category. The survival blog one is the one that I found to be the most useful. But at Survival Mom, she's got several articles broken down that fall under that list of list categories, like 5 survival skills I learned in Scouts, 6 quick ways to increase your survival education, 7 reasons to start preparing today, essential skills, 10 essential skills necessary for survival, and 10 things I need to learn from a preparedness blog, and 10 things to accomplish before collapse day. So it can kind of, there's so many resources out there. Don't just stick with one, because there's just a wealth of information out there. Now, of course, incidentally, what you'll find, a lot of that will be duplicated, compiled, concentrated on Survival Blog. Because a lot of these articles that are posted in other survival prepping type of websites end up finding their way on Survival Blog. That's why I say that's the most comprehensive resource. There's tons of resources out there. But let's get back to the core topic for today. Narrow it down to food, water, and shelter. I've put some items on there, some resources for food storage and cooking. And that's a Survival Blog. Survival Center has got a food storage guide. Basically, what this comes down to is this. I think it is foolish to go out and buy 6 pallets of MREs, or, 30 of those 5-gallon survival buckets from Costco. A lot of that food tastes like garbage. Now, what you need to do is concentrate on storing what you already eat. There's three principles here. Store what you eat what you store, and rotate it or use it. And you'll find that is a common theme among a lot of experienced prepper websites that talk about storing up food. There is a huge psychological impact on changing the diet. That's why it's used to exploit prisoners. You want to try to maintain the same diet. You're under a very stressful situation, and you want to obviously store things for long term. Okay, so when it comes down to food storage, how much should you buy? Well, you need to set goals for yourself, obviously. What we did was a few years ago, we didn't have the money to run out and buy a bunch of, 2-3 years worth of food. So what we did was we just started going to the store and buying extra. We'd buy peanut butter, we'd buy two of them. We'd buy a package of toilet paper, we bought two of them. And we just slowly started building that up over time. Now, to try to find out how much you should store, there's some really helpful calculators that are out there, and I posted one. It's from Ready Nutrition, and it's a prepping calculator that helps you determine how much food that you need to store for you to be able to survive for a determined amount of time. And you go there and click on the site on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. That'll take you to Ready Nutrition Prepping Calculator, and you type in how many adults, two adults, three children, whatever you have, and hit enter, and bam, it tells you, how much wheat you should have, how much honey you should have, sugar, salt. It breaks it all down, mainly into staples. Remember, this is for long-term storage, not long-term consumption. Don't confuse the two. Long-term storage means that once you buy it and you store it, in case something goes down today, you have it, but if nothing goes down for 5 or 7 years from now, it's still there and it's still good. It's still usable. You need to be concentrating on long-term storage. And you should be rotating it also, because stuff does have expiration dates. But once you build up where you have 3 years worth of peanut butter, then you start rotating the oldest stuff out way before its expiration date and keep it fresh. Not to be confused with long-term consumption, because if you want to plan for 5 years worth of food, then storing 5 years worth of food is a very dangerous prospect, especially if you've never been visited by Murphy, then you're going to find out that that's probably not the best idea. You need to plan your storage. Your food storage program should be really geared toward storing enough until you can begin producing your own. And that means you need to store up, you incorporate heirloom seeds and a gardening plan into your food plan. Okay, there's so much to cover on that. You could do one show just on food storage. All right, but I'm just skimming over the basics here. Water. You cannot store enough water for you and your family for an extended period of time. Every adult has to have at least 1 gallon per day just for consumption. Okay, that's the basic federal standards when you look at FEMA or Red Cross or any of these relief aid organizations. 1 gallon a day per person. In Israel, they say 2 gallons a day. So you can't, I don't care if you got a waterbed and a swimming pool in the backyard. If you got a swimming pool in the backyard, that could be a game changer. But if you don't make your whole water plan just about storing up bottles of Avion, or you're going to be in trouble. You need to be able to work on capturing your own rainwater or have some type of water source, because like in an EMP situation, when the city pumps stop working, the faucet shuts off, you're in trouble, serious trouble. The human body can go about 3 days without water. So you need to be storing up for water in 55-gallon drums, some type of food-grade containers. They are available. They're abundant. They're everywhere if you start looking for them. We've put resources on here to help you start tracking that stuff down. And you can go to any one of these online survival sites, and they walk you through the process of how to store up water. But I want you to start thinking about that. Also, you need to think about how to treat your own water. If you can capture your own water off your roof, rain gutter system, downspout system to fill up 55-gallon drums, you need to be able to treat that water. You don't know what type of contaminants it might be exposed to, depending on whatever disaster we're up against. So read up on those. Get serious about it. One strategy that someone said that they incorporated was when you got a bunch of 55-gallon barrels stacked up in your backyard, it looks like you are a prepper. One person that I talked to said what they did was they bought off Craigslist. They bought one of these 18-foot, 4-foot high swimming pools, and they filled it up, and they have about 3,000 gallons of drinking water sitting right there because they have a Berkey water filter, and it's prepping, hiding right out in plain sight. And so there's something else to consider. There's a lot of different ways to purify your water. You can do it with bleach. It takes a lot of bleach, and bleach has a shelf life. And but there's some other, there's chemicals, pool shock and things like that, that you can store up, stock up on sodium hypochlorite, for example, for as pool shock for treating your water. A 5-gallon bucket of that might cost about $100 to $107, but it will also treat millions of gallons. So that could be something that could be used for barter down the road. And of course, unlimited clean drinking water, especially after you pour it through your Berkey water filter. Now, before you run out and spend $200 to $300 on a Berkey water filter, you can build your own for a fraction of the cost using Berkey filters and 5-gallon buckets that are food grade. I posted a video with plans on there on how to do that. And so I want to just throw that out there. You can be in use your ingenuity and really make it more affordable for yourself. Okay, finally, I want to talk about shelter real quick. The reason why I threw that on there is because it's something you need to consider. Now, obviously, if you're listening to this, you're probably sitting in your home or your apartment, or you have shelter. That part's taken care of. Okay, but there's static shelter versus bugging out shelter, mobile shelter. The place where you're living in may not be viable, so you need to have a place to go. So start thinking about like-minded friends or family and someone that you could begin a retreat group with or work out an emergency disaster plan, evacuation plan, maybe pre-position some of your food storage there and so on and so forth. So in case something goes down and you can't stay in your area, that you have a safe place to go to. You might just be living in town. It might not be safe living in town. So have a place to go. And also, of course, ideal as far as bugging out is to be able to have shelter on wheels, something that you can take with you, hook up a camper, something that's self-sufficient so that you can have preloaded at all times. And of course, a lot of this is just basic information that is pretty much a no-brainer for most preppers, because you've already given a lot of thought to it already. But there's a lot of people that you talk to as well, and you go, wow, I didn't really think about that. That's a good point. Maybe I should get a small trailer, a small hunting trailer. I can keep all my prepper gear in there and ready to bug out. And, of course, there is an abundance of information on there. Now, when we talk about shelter, too, that also includes all the other peripherals. That means lighting and heat. I'd strongly recommend going to a wood-burning stove, something that does not rely on outside supply, like natural gas or electricity. You could have a number of different possibilities there. So what I want to do is just point you toward, or just encourage you to start thinking about your home, your shelter, as far as lighting, as far as heat, your food storage, and what if you have to leave? What if you have to leave in winter? So look at those resources there. You need to start putting an action plan together, and there are some resources that are out there. One that I found, an additional one that I found to be really useful, is from a weekly free newsletter from a gal named Tess over at Ready Nutrition. She's also the one that posted that food storage calculator. And her newsletters are called Get Prepped. Go and check those out. And what she's doing is she's working on a 52-week, she's on 37 of a 52-week weekly newsletter Getting Prepped action plan. And every week she's adding something on there to incorporate into your plan. And sometimes she talks about home defense. Sometimes it talks about food storage or water purification and what have you, home medical emergency situations. So she keeps adding another one of those, and just in probably just the next couple of months, that'll be completed into a 52-week action plan that pretty much anybody can incorporate into their disaster planning for their family. Also, from the American Preppers Network, they have one called Getting Started in Prepping. That is a really good resource. And there's some books. If you go to survivalblog.com, there's a prepper bookshelf there. I'm going to add a link to that. So you can go to that and look at some of the most, you know, the highest recommended books. Some of the ones that my wife and I used that were extremely helpful when we were first getting back into prepping was Making the Best of Basics. It's a family preparedness handbook. It's kind of dubbed the Bible of home preparedness or disaster preparedness. And that one should be at the top of the list, along with How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. This one's written by James Rawls, and it covers the tactics, techniques, and technologies for uncertain times. And that one's at the top of our list. And of course, one of my all-time favorite sites for just prepping and self-sufficient living is Paratus Familia Blog. All right, that music means we got to take a break. And when we come back, I'll be speaking with Enola Gay a little bit about prepping and see if we can pin her down on the release of her new self-sufficient prepper cookbook, Cooking with the Foods You've Stored. Enola Gay from Paratus Familia in just a moment. Stay right there.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog and the tactical tip of the week. The term group standard, made popular by James Wesley Rawls in his novel The Patriots, is heard frequently within prepper circles. But what does it mean, and how do you apply it in your preparedness efforts? It is, quite simply, buying or procuring items that take the same parts, whether they be magazines, ammunition, batteries, or any other preparedness items. For instance, if you buy a piece of electronic equipment, think to yourself, will I have to buy special batteries, or will the batteries I have on hand do? At our home, group standard for batteries is AA and D. The D batteries power large portable radios and large flashlights, where the AA batteries power all of my two-way radios, small flashlights, night vision, and electronic sights such as EOTech and Aimpoint. So before you buy, consider if your purchase will match your group standard. This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog on Radio Free Readout.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Readout Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Readout connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Readout is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves readouters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Readout Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Readout in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
Thanks for sticking with us at the Voice of the American Readout. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and it's a pleasure to have you all with us here tonight. Of course, I didn't think you'd really go too far away because we have a very special guest with us in the studio. Most of you have heard of her, and many of you follow her widely popular blog, Paratus Familia, and that's Latin for prepared family. I'm talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, the wife, mother, prepper, and homesteader who's living it out daily, Enola Gay. She's arguably one of the most gifted writers and influential Patriot women in the American Redoubt. And Nola, it's really an honor to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, John. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, this has been a long time coming. This is a treat. We've been trying to coordinate this for a long time. Both of us live not too far from each other in the American Yes. Redoubt within a short little road trip. And so I know that you have a lot of followers, and there's a lot of listeners out there, Radio Free Redoubt listeners, who are also Paratus Familia blog followers. And so this is probably a special treat for all of us and them to be able to finally put a voice to the name and the face. But I wanted to get you here for really some kind of meat and potato questions here in just a minute for some of our newer listeners or some of our listeners that are maybe new to prepping. But how did this all start? Well, now you got a very successful blog, huge following.
Yes.
How many people do you think you got following that?
Roughly in the 1,200 follower range.
Okay, 1,200?
1,200 people a day visit the blog.
Wow. And how long have you been doing this?
2 years. Roughly, just a little over 2 years. Started a couple years ago in January.
So it really launched.
It really has taken off.
It's really been a blessing to us. I've mentioned this before on the air, and it's just so earthy. I mean, it's just so down to earth and so wholesome. I think there's an appetite for that. There's a hunger for that, and people want to latch onto that, kind of the Little House on the Prairie kind of lifestyle.
And there is that, and I really think people want authenticity. They want to know that there are people out there living what they're talking about, not just writing it, but doing it.
Yeah, but it's also an inspiration for people who aren't living it yet.
Absolutely. The majority of us have not grown up living it. I certainly didn't. However, being able to read firsthand experiences helps all of us prepare a little bit more.
Yeah, it does. And it's really an inspiration for people that are living in town, but they're dreaming of having property.
Absolutely.
They're starting the little garden for the very first time in their little raised bed garden
Yes.
in the backyard because of things that you've encouraged them to do and to try.
Our philosophy has always been, if we can do it, anybody can do it. We have done the majority of what we have done by reading it in a book, having a desire and reading about it and saying, we can do this. So if we can do that, anybody out there can replicate what we have done for their own selves.
Yeah. And you've done well. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, just get right to it, that is the for the new listeners, we're covering, of course, the topic tonight is prepping 101.
Right.
It really made me want to address this a couple months ago, or about a month ago. I had a close personal friend who is very conservative, strong patriot. He's a walking encyclopedia as far as our country's heritage, American heritage, and very godly man. But their eyes just opened up to prepping. And it's always been something they wanted to do, but now all of a sudden the switch flipped on. Now there's a sense of urgency, and now they're in panic mode.
Right.
And they're in wide-eyed, running around going, where do we start? What do we buy first? And, you know, how many tons of wheat should I run out and buy and, you know, everything else. So what's your advice for the new prepper that's in panic mode?
Well, my advice for the new prepper would be don't panic. Ultimately, God is sitting on his throne. He knows where you are, and he's got it under control. However, wisdom would dictate that you start prepping and you start somewhere. Most people tend to want to start with food. It's the staff of life. Without it, you and your family will not survive. We've had a lot of people ask us, what do you store? There is no one-size-fits-all storage solution. You store what you eat. If you hate black beans, don't store them. Choose black-eyed peas or red beans. What we did when we started our food storage program was I made menus. And I took stock of the basic ingredients that were included in the majority of our food. And from there, I started developing a food storage program. So food would be a major. Another consideration, of course, right off the bat, is defense. The other thing to remember is you don't have to do it all at once. Start with a little food, start with some basic home defense, and some medical supplies. Beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. It's really a pretty basic, and you don't need to make a huge investment. You need to do a little bit at a time.
Sure. So what do you recommend, kind of a concentric program, or should they start off with just a year right off the bat, in your opinion?
Actually, it really depends on your situation. If you have the money to start off with a year, by all means, do it. If you're looking at taking out massive loans and going into great debt, probably not a great idea. We are firm believers that God will provide for us within our means. That may mean for some people they start out with simply a 5-gallon bucket of wheat. Start there if that's what you have. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, when you set a goal and you start looking towards preparedness, it's an amazing thing how things can come together, and you can start stocking up on things because simply you're looking for it. You're seeing those sales at the grocery store, and things you would have walked right by before make themselves known to you. So a year's supply is a great goal, but if you can only do 3 months, start there.
Yeah. I noticed you mentioned right at the top of the list, food.
Yes.
And defense.
Correct.
What would you say are number three and number four and number five? What's your top five list?
Probably food and defense. Water, of course, is definitely up there, but I put that in the classification with food. With water, there are so many things to consider. Granted, you can store water in your basement. Water filtration systems are a great idea. There are even certain chemicals that you can chemically filter your water with in order to make it potable. So that and home defense, I think, is going to be extraordinarily important. We're not talking a 1920s depression. People are different. Our society is different. People behave differently than they did in the 1920s. They're not going to come up to your door and say, "Can I work for food?"
Right.
They're going to come to your door and say, "I will take your food." You're going to have to be able to defend that. Medical supplies, I think, are going to be extraordinarily important. We have come to a point in our history where we are incredibly reliant on modern medical intervention. We run to the doctor for runny noses. There is every possibility we won't have that opportunity. We need to stock up on medical supplies, whether they are antibiotics or pain relievers or bandages. The other interesting thing about stocking up is you need the skills to go along with them. So we've got water, and we've got water and food, home defense, medical supplies. There's also communication equipment to involve yourself with. Starting just with local communication for your immediate family, I think, is a great place to start. And from there, you can go into ham radio.
Yeah. Now, do you have ham radio? Does your family have ham radio?
We do. We do. Our oldest daughter is a ham, and so we do have ham radio capabilities.
She's a ham.
She is a ham.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Well, good. And she was a ham long before she even took her test, right?
She was. Yeah. She passed with flying colors.
Well, good. Well, when all this goes down, maybe you'll be able to listen to Radio Free Readout on shortwave.
Absolutely. We will be tuned in.
And so you'll be able to follow the Amron. For all of you listeners out there, we are tweaking our Amron program right now, so you'll have frequencies to be able to dial in and listen. And we're adding digital capabilities to that as well. So we can text and send emails over the radio. All that stuff's forthcoming. We'll keep you updated. We're going to take a real quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap up our interview. We are with Enola Gay from paratusfamilia.blogspot.com. Check it out. Stick around. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You're listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
This is Chris Walsh, a Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
This is John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Redoubt. We are here with a special guest tonight. We have Enola Gay from Paratus Familia blog, and she's been doing it for a couple of years, running that blog, and has a huge following in just that short amount of time, influencing people, people following all around the world. And her wisdom and her advice become a regular staple in most people's days and weeks. I know they are for us. We've appreciated a lot of your recipes that you put on there. And this is practical. You're living this out.
Yes.
On a regular basis.
Every day.
And so many people, like ourselves, we are preppers. We will buy some type of prepper equipment, and we get it out and we test it once a month or make sure everything's maintained, but you're using it every day.
Every day.
Now, let's talk about that, those recipes.
Yes.
That you do every day. Some of these, now I don't know how Sir Knight stays trim, because I'll tell you what, if I was eating like that, I would be 480 pounds. That's just, it's crazy, but incredible recipes. Are you going to put a recipe book together? That's what everyone wants to know.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm actually really excited about it. I've been working on it for a while. However, working it in around the blog and the business and homeschooling children and everything else, it's taking longer than I would have liked.
Well, you're a super mom, so it's no excuse.
Well, okay. Right. I'll get on it. But yes, I have been working on putting together a cookbook for a while. And the unique thing about this particular cookbook is we'll introduce recipes, a standard recipe, and then we'll transform that recipe into a recipe specifically using stored foods.
Good.
So you should be able to go out to your food storage, get whatever you need, and make that same recipe. And then we'll have directions for your regular conventional electric or gas range, along with instructions for cooking on a wood cook stove.
Perfect.
Yes.
That's really good, because people are using some of these calculators. We put one on the highlights and resources posting for today's show.
Mm-hmm.
The calculator that tells you, you know, how many adults, how many children, click enter, and bam, you're supposed to have 1,200 pounds a week. And now, so these people buy 1,200 pounds a week, and they're staring at this bucket of wheat.
What now?
Exactly.
Yes.
So this is exactly what people are looking for.
Each recipe will also come included with what kind of wheat you should use. There are different wheats depending on whether you're baking a yeast cake or a yeast bread or using baking powder and biscuits. So
soft white,
exactly.
Hard red, winter red wheat,
yes.
So on and so forth. Okay.
Right. So each one of the recipes will come equipped with what exactly you should be using, what kind of grain.
Okay, here's a $5,000 question that people ask a lot. And that is, how do you store yeast? Because it has a shelf life, correct?
It does. It does. However, even yeast shelf life is a lot longer than you would expect as long as it's stored properly. You can leave it on your shelf in your living room or in your bedroom or in your kitchen or wherever you store your food for approximately 5 years as long as it's sealed. We're talking the yeast that you buy in bricks at Costco.
Right.
So it's got a 5-year shelf life right off the bat. Beyond that, if you put it in a root cellar where it's cool and seal it in a 4-gallon plastic barrel, we're looking at 10 years. So you can store your yeast for up to 10 years with really no problems. Typically with yeast, the killer is heat.
Mm-hmm.
You can freeze yeast and it will last very nearly indefinitely. However, yeast will not store in an outbuilding where it gets 110 degrees in the summer, it will kill the yeast that way.
Yeah.
Root cellars are really going to be incredibly important for preppers for long-term food storage. Many things that have a shelf life can be greatly lengthened with a root cellar.
I've always been a proponent of, I've mentioned this earlier in the show, in a previous segment, that is that your food supply, your food storage, when we talk about long-term food storage, right, it's so you can store up food today because 7 years from now, it all might go down, the crash,
right.
Teotwaki.
Exactly.
But once you start using it, once Teotwaki hits, your food storage, this is my philosophy, is not supposed to, you're not supposed to live off of it for the next 7 years.
Correct.
It's to keep you alive until you can begin producing
absolutely.
Your own.
Yes.
And do you have a plan for that, for producing your own?
Oh, absolutely. We are great proponents of heirloom seeds. I had grown a garden for years, saved seeds, and continually perpetuate that. We also share seeds with friends that have heirloom gardens as well. And also, we very much advocate animals. Having milk cow is essential, or goat, either mm-hmm. one, because then you're not only producing milk, but also meat.
Right.
And I think ultimately, for survivability, you need to be able to produce. You cannot just sit and eat up all your food stores, or you're just prolonging the inevitable.
Yeah, and as soon as you say goats or cows, a lot of people, their shoulders slump, and they go, oh, okay, that's not going to work for me. You know, maybe you live on an acre and a half,
sure.
but you're still in the suburbs.
Or absolutely.
You're right outside of town.
Right.
Maybe you can't have a cow. Chickens, you can have chickens in town.
Absolutely.
You can have rabbits.
Yes.
Are becoming very popular.
Mm-hmm. Rabbits are becoming very popular. There's all kinds of things that you can do in the backyard mm-hmm. in a lot in town. Obviously, none of your milk-producing animals can you do that in town. And that may be something that you think about down the road. However, you can learn a great deal about them now before you get them so that you are prepared and ready. You can also learn now how to make things like cheese and butter and yogurt. You don't necessarily need your own milk animal to learn the skills that are involved in that. Because truly, worse comes to worse. If it were me and I did not have a milk cow, I would go get a range cow if something bad were to happen, just like Laura and Mary did when they were little girls.
Yeah.
But then at least you'd have the skills to properly process the milk and the dairy products.
You bet. And it's something that people, you're starting to see a lot of prepper groups, survival
yes.
groups,
mm-hmm.
court where there's home Bible study groups where people are all starting to pitch in together.
Right.
To start building up a pantry,
right.
Purchasing property together. Mm-hmm. This is really growing, and I see a trend. So it's not if you're just relying on your own resources,
right.
most likely you're not going to be able to do a lot of things. But when you
yes.
work with other people.
Well, and we are very much proponents of wildcrafting as well, which is basically going out into the woods near where you live and finding out what God's put there for you to use.
Mm-hmm.
This fall, my children and I took a walk and picked up tons of rose hips and made rose hip jelly, which is incredibly high in vitamin C, by far higher than citrus fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that we could conceivably keep up our citrus intake quite easily, and that's through wildcrafting. We do the same thing with elderberries and any number of things that are just growing naturally and wild at our home.
Sure.
So that's available even if you're in the city. I know that years ago when we lived in Seattle, it was full of blackberries. They were just there for the taking.
Yeah, that's true. And you can also perpetuate that by kind of helping what's already there grow.
Exactly.
Kind of nudge it along a little
yes.
bit. Throw garlic out there and have mm-hmm. it growing all over around your neighborhood where
absolutely.
It's accessible to you and only you know about it.
Yes.
You know, so that's good stuff. Now, are you going to incorporate, I'm jumping back here a few minutes to the seed part.
Yes.
That's a topic that people always seem to be asking. How do I harvest my own seeds? It's really difficult even using the internet to track down information on recovering, growing, capturing, harvesting your own seeds.
Your own seeds, yes.
Is that something you'd considered adding or writing?
I hadn't considered it, but it's actually remarkably simple. You just set aside two or three plants or however many you think you will need to plant the following year and let them go to seed on the vine. So as you're picking, you've got typically what we have done is left one row for seed. and we don't harvest that. Everything else we harvest, we let that one row come into fruit, and then it dries on the vine, and you go and you pick all those seeds off, say they're beans, and you get them out of their shell, and there you have your beans.
Yeah.
It's very, very simple. It's just a matter of setting a certain portion of your garden aside to allow it to go back to seed.
Sure. Well, good stuff. Now, do you have any other projects coming up? We were very enthusiastic about getting your book last summer, The Prepared Family's Guide to Uncommon Diseases. And that's been a blessing on our shelf. I got it right here, as a matter of fact. Are you going to be expanding that?
At some point, our plan is to combine a book that has traditional herbal, essentially herbal remedies, things that you can make from your kitchen cupboard, but then combining that also with medical interventions that work extraordinarily well. Things like canning your own sterile water for wound irrigation in your home canner, which is really quite simple to do, but then also making apple cider vinegar, which very effectively treats strep. So we're working on putting information together for a book of that nature that will combine both herbal medicine and modern medicine in one book.
Good. Okay, we're just about out of time. I hate to cut this short. Time so flies, and there's so many more things I want to ask you. We'll have to reschedule. We'll do this again. But before we go, do you have a release date, a target for the release of your cookbook? I know many people are anticipating that.
We are hoping to get that out by next fall. So that is our goal, early fall of 2012.
Okay, well, good.
Yes.
It can't come fast enough.
I think so, too.
All right. Well, hey, it's really been a pleasure having you with us tonight. I look forward to doing this again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Absolutely. So, okay, folks, we're going to wrap this up right after we come back from this break. And you've been listening to Enola Gay from Paratus Familia Blog. Go and check out her blog at www.paratusfamilia.blogspot.com. Check out our articles. There's so much to be gleaned there for depth of knowledge. So anyway, we'll be right back. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you are listening to Radio Free Readout.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog and the Tactical Tip of the Week. The term group standard, made popular by James Wesley Rawls in his novel The Patriots, is heard frequently within prepper circles. But what does it mean, and how do you apply it in your preparedness efforts? It is, quite simply, buying or procuring items that take the same parts, whether they be magazines, ammunitions, batteries, or any other preparedness items. For instance, if you buy a piece of electronic equipment, think to yourself, will I have to buy special batteries? Or the batteries I have on hand do. At our home, group standard for batteries is AA and D. The D batteries power large portable radios and large flashlights, where the AA batteries power all of my two-way radios, small flashlights, night vision, and electronic sights such as EOTech and Aimpoint. So before you buy, consider if your purchase will match your group standard. This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog on Radio Free Readout.
This is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Readout. When it comes to monitoring for information using a scanner or a shortwave receiver, it's a great idea to pre-program the frequencies you'll be monitoring now. This will eliminate additional stress during an emergency situation by being able to go right to a desired frequency or set of frequencies at the push of a button. It's also a great idea to keep a printed hard copy of the frequencies next to your communications equipment with the names of the channels as well as the pre-programmed channel preset numbers. And remember to practice using your communications equipment often. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are use it, use it, use it. This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis.
Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cook stove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later, our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive, top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now, anything we purchase, we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotwaki happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the King, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
Welcome back. We're going to wrap things up here for episode 12-11, the 11th broadcast of the calendar year 2012. Hey, there's a movie coming out this Friday, March 23rd, called The Hunger Games, based on the book or books. It's a trilogy. Anya first read it and got Mrs. Schmidt hooked. I haven't read the books, and I plan to. I do. But Mrs. Schmidt gave me the blow-by-blow instant replay version every night as she was going through the books. What an amazing story, and I think it's very fitting for the times we're living in today, and especially for patriots and redoubters. Watch the trailer. It'll get you pumped up. And here's a little excerpt from the movie description off a website. Written in first person and introduces 16-year-old Katniss Everdeen, who lives in a post-apocalyptic world in the country of Panem, where the countries of North America once existed. The capital, a highly advanced metropolis, holds absolute power over the rest of the nation. The Hunger Games are an annual event in which one boy and one girl aged 12 to 18 from each of the 12 districts surrounding the capital are selected by lottery to compete in a televised battle in which only one person can survive. And the capital has everyone in these districts literally starving to death, food as a weapon. So it's an amazing story, brilliantly done. And for the district that the winner of the Hunger Games comes out of, the reward is food. But it's a story of tyranny and an uprising that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We're going to see it on opening night. Really looking forward to that. Amron operators, hams, and relays. We're incorporating a new digital communications plan into Amron to better keep you, the redoubter, patriot, and prepper, informed and connected in Teotwaki and beyond. So stay tuned for more information on that. All right, I want to remind you that not only is prepping a great idea, it's scriptural. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. That's from Proverbs 22:3. And from Proverbs 6:6-8, go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest. Now that means you don't wait for the government to tell you to prepare. You don't wait for the government to be your provider. You are responsible for preparing when you see danger. If you can't see it, take your blinders off. And don't forget that tonight, right after the show, we'll be playing an old-time radio favorite, Cloak and Dagger. So sit back and enjoy that. Then right after that, in about 28 minutes from now, we'll be re-airing the show you just heard in case you missed any of it. And then we'll be uploading it to the Podbean site where you'll be able to listen to the podcast version. Now, from there, you can listen to it or download it onto your computer or your portable audio player and listen to Radio Free Readout on the go. I know a lot of you like to listen to that. Now, remember to tell your like-minded friends and family about Radio Free Readout and keep spreading the news about the American Readout Network or the American Readout Movement. You all have a blessed week, and may the Lord give you wisdom with the decisions you have to make and in your efforts to store up and prepare for you and yours. This is John Jacob Schmidt signing off at the Voice of the American Readout. Until next week, when we discuss Prepping 102, good night.